We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the first Miami Heat Beat podcast of the second half of this season. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, Liver 2K Coach Frankie.
Stream Beat co-host and co-founder, and our Twitch stream is not showing right now.
That is interesting. Oh, but can you hear us? Can y'all hear us?
I think they can.
They can hear us, but they can't see us. Listen, oh, there we go. A new hero appears. There we go. And if you're watching on twitch.tv/MIHeatBeat, we thank you for the patronage. We thank you for the support. We thank you for coming on. If you're a podcast listener, thank you for listening, downloading, and make sure that that you come on the Twitch stream so you can participate in chat. That's fun. Chat's giving me a hard time. They're giving me grief, but it's okay. On the bottom of the screen, we have the great Siobhan.
What's up, guys?
How's it going? How was break?
It's been good. It's been really good, actually.
It feels like a chat saying that they want to go back when they can't see me, that they like that better, and that my mic's super low.
That's true.
Solana said to turn up your mic, G.
I did. We are back up. We are back for the second half of the season. We have some fun stuff going on. A couple announcements at the top. We're going to be scheduling a watch party. If you're a Patreon subscriber, be on the lookout for a post. Kind of, we're going to pick what day we're going to do a... We're gonna pick what day we do a watch party, so you can come, you can hang out with us, you can watch some basketball. I'm gonna be there. I know that some other people, you'll hear some other MHB personalities be involved with that. So be on the lookout on our Patreon for that. The other thing I wanted to tell you guys about, and it's something that we've been doing for the last week. We partnered with Locker Room, and they have kind of we're gonna doing this thing on this Locker Room app. Where we go on and we kind of host little rooms and we talk about stuff. And Alf and I have been doing recovery time, which is the morning after every basketball game. We're doing it twice a week. We'll always tweet it out. So download the app if you're on iOS and come join us. You can talk to us. It's like a back and forth. Siobhan's on a bunch. You know, Frankie's been on. We make fun of Jack because all Jack did all weekend was make locker room rooms.
That's random rooms at obscure times in the morning.
I woke up, it was like Saturday, I went to go buy bread at a bakery and it's like 8:30 in the morning and Jack's doing one with the Kais on Bam Adebayo. I was like, what's going on, Jack? What are you doing? So we're doing that. And also for our Patreon subscribers, so we didn't know what to do with the audio because we can keep the audio. And then what we wanted to do was kind of upload those locker rooms to our Patreon feed, because we weren't going to like bomb you with podcasts. So what we were going to do is kind of upload those. So we're going to, for our $5 patrons, you'll get a little extra. You'll get a little extra. All right. So kind of getting that out of the way, Chad's making fun of me for buying bread at a bakery. It was weird. Dough in Key Biscayne. It's quite good. No, it's quite good. It's a really good bakery in Key Biscayne. It's really nice. I got like a cacio pepe bread, which is with like some pecorino, some pepper bread. It was really good. I was about that. Nice Saturday morning brunch. So on the docket today, and I know Siobhan, you have takes about this.
Not really, just feelings.
Just feelings. So the Heat, Blake Griffin was made available. Gonna sign with the Nets. The Heat were reportedly interested, as they are, you know, the entire league. And the Heat struck out on another guy. Now, I know we're all going to get to our feelings on Blake, but
yeah,
I kind of think they dodged a bullet. And I know that Siobhan, I know you've had some feelings.
Yeah, of course I get it. You know, Brooklyn is the, what seems to be the path of least resistance, you know, to the ring. To a chip. I don't know. I want, and then maybe this is a testament to Tiff and I talk a lot. Shout out Tiff about, you know, whether or not Blake is actually as unhealthy as he looks, or it's just, you know, an unhappy destination, this, that, and the third. And I don't know how much of the, you know, how much fire is actually accompanying the smoke with the Blake rumors, and for that matter, you know, all of the other guys that Miami finds themselves linked to. I'm just like, damn, like I just want, and not even to come to Miami. I just want dudes to maybe think more of themselves. I don't know, like want to contribute on a larger scale at, you know, other contending types of teams. Is that probably a biased thing to say? It might be. But, like, I really feel that way that, like, I don't know. I don't know where else I would have wanted him to go, who else on the East, who else on the West. But it's like everyone, it just feels that everyone is going to flock to Brooklyn in a way that's kind of, you know, on a nuanced type of way, kind of dissimilar to some of the other maybe moves that we've seen over the last few years as far as super team formation, and maybe not, because of course Golden State are what they are. I don't know. I'm happy for him. If he's happy, cool. You know, that's what matters. Shout out to, you know, D Wade when he backed Harden for, you know, everyone came in and shat on him, and Harden made the move that, you know, made him happy, and he's running around and cheesing and cameras and stuff. And so, you know, if that's what it is, then, you know, absolutely by all means. But like, dang, like I want to, like, I'm not, while Mo didn't, his plans didn't pan out the way that, you know, they were foretold that they would. He said, no, you know, I'll tank, turn down some of the money again. I have no idea what Blake's numbers or contracts, any of that is. But like he wanted to be significant on a contender. Like he wanted to like help really, really get dudes over the hump. And, you know, maybe Blake does that for Brooklyn. They need some rebounding, some size and some defense. So I don't know. I hope it works out, but yeah.
I think he's an interesting case because I think specifically with the Nets, they just have a vacuum at big, right? Like they have DeAndre and really no one else that they trust, right?
There's no one.
I think theoretically Blake makes sense as a backup center. He's never really played five in his career, but I think at this point, I think if he's going up against less athletic guys, I think if he's going up, he's a smart player. And I think he probably wanted a role. He's like, because if he probably asked teams, right? Like if he asked the Heat, you know, can you guarantee me a role? I'm sure that they would say, question mark. Let's see. Right. Because
you don't think so. You don't think there would be a clearly delineated role for him if they went that far out to try to acquire him, that they didn't have, you know, something in mind and for how to use him.
Yeah. And the reason why I say no is because now they have gone to this thing where they even don't play Precious a lot of times, right? Like, they'll play Precious for like 10, 15, 12, 10 to even less minutes, and he's gotten DMPs, and they just go Olynyk as backup five when they're healthy, right? So they'll play Bam and Olynyk, and then, you know, one of them gets a spell, Precious plays a couple minutes, and then they play KO at the five, and they've kind of settled that as their big rotation. So I don't, and that's worked. That's been winning games, and that's, yeah, it's kind of helped Greece. So I look at Blake and I'm like, well, for sure he's better than Chris Silva. I feel like we all agree on that. But I think in terms of like, hey, like, am I guaranteed 15 minutes a game on this team? I can kind of see where that could get dicey. I don't know, Frankie, if you kind of agree with that. Frankie, you're
I was waiting to see if you were going to unmute me or if I didn't, because you muted me without me knowing me.
I can't. Yeah, because you have a crackling. So we're trying to provide the best experience for the listener.
When that's you fine. Idle. I understand that. But you muted me without me knowing while I was mid-sentence, so like while I was about to speak. So
did I? Didn't know. No, it was before you spoke. Yeah, it was before you spoke.
It was right before I spoke. So I was like, I was talking. I thought you could hear me. And I'm like, wow, geez, just talking over me.
That's so funny.
I definitely think he's somebody who could help. He even as a limited role, you know how much Miami likes to operate from dribble handoffs, from the elbows. That's Blake's forte. Like, you can run offense through him. He's much more of a basketball player than Chris Silva is at their best, obviously. But even now, Chris Silva hasn't been able to play much all season because of injury. Shout out to Brass for saying the Chris Silva mom jokes. But it's definitely something that, like, in this COVID shortened season, like, we've hoped, we've gone through the worst of the injuries. I don't think we've gone through all the injuries where it's likely somebody in the rotation still gets, still loses a couple games, and we need guys to fill that role. That bottom five of the roster can't be useless. You already have UD. You can't have Chris Silva not being worthless either. Like, you need guys who can fill in minutes, and Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, all these guys, for what they're worth, like, they shouldn't, we shouldn't have to rely on them. If you can get an NBA guy as bad as Blake Griffin's been this season, hoping that in the, you know, contending for a playoff spot with a good team that rejuvenates him, you need guys like that, veterans who know how to play basketball. So you're not relying on Gabe Vincent and hoping he gives you something, or KZ Afala.
I think, like, I'd rather just try, like, hope and pray KZ's, like, what you need. Because, again, I don't know if Blake, I don't know that Blake's the solution. And I don't know, Siobhan, if they have extra 12 minutes a game to give him unless someone gets hurt. That's my thing. That's,
I, like, mean, where I am with that. So that may or may not be true. But like Frankie said, we've seen, you know, the frequency of guys getting hurt this season. So why not, you know, make those types of fortifications? We had, you know, the number of injuries that we had during the first half. Who's to say that it won't be the same, worse, as things start to ramp up, you know, intensity wise and, you know, competition wise. So I think it would be foolhardy to not.
But that's a maybe. Like,
Everything's a maybe. Literally everything's a maybe. Like, but we've seen it play out too far too often that, like, for it to still be a maybe. Yeah, okay, maybe guys get hurt. We've had guys get hurt, miss time. So everything's literally a maybe. You got to go off your experience.
Are you going to tell that to Blake at the negotiating table? Like, well, maybe if guys get hurt, you play?
Who cares? You say what you got to do to get him in, and then you do what you got to do.
You lie. So you are advocating.
You don't think Pat Riley's ever lied to get a guy in on the team?
I think that
he lied to Mo Harkless.
Understanding. Well, I mean, they gave Mo a chance, and Mo did start, and it had to get cataclysmically bad.
Terrible.
For them to pull.
Gee, what's,
like, they rode that out longer than they should have.
Absolutely. But that's the same thing. Gee, if they play Blake Griffin and he's no good, guess what? You can cut him. You're not married to the guy just because you signed him for the end of the season. If he's absolutely no good, you cut him. That's it.
I'm sure that they tried. I'm sure that they talked, and he just felt that I have more of a role in Brooklyn than I would here. And that's where I'm at. Like, I'm not even, like, arguing the semantics of whether they got him or not. I'm like, if I'm him and I'm looking at the two situations And, you know, he's not dumb. And I'm sure that he picked the role that he, A, the best chance to win a championship, and B, the one that he's like, I'm actually going to, like, play here every night. Like, for sure. Because they need me.
Well, me and Siobhan, I think Siobhan is doing the same thing. But we're pushing back that we need him, too. That,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I don't know that they do.
You have the last game we had KZ Akpala. Like, KZ Akpala has had to play a game, like, important minutes the last couple of games.
Have you felt more so, you know, overall, good or bad about the way that the season's played out so far?
Given the COVID, I think, I mean, obviously you can't be happy with how,
given the COVID and the rest of the injuries, right? Like, you can't, I feel like it's too much to ignore the fact that we, Goran's still out, Avery's still out, you know, Mo, when he did fall, landed smack on his hip, like, for whatever reason, we have just been struck by the injury COVID, but that a lot of the rest of the same teams are. So, I mean, Chad's, I don't know. I think they should be.
They're mad at me. They're like, they wanted Blake Griffin. They really wanted Blake.
And so maybe even Blake isn't the answer. My thing, I want people to go to places other than Brooklyn and LA.
Well, the LA one is annoying because the next guy we're going to talk about has been linked to the Lakers a little bit, and it's Otto Porter Jr. Out of Chicago. Chicago has kind of some rumbling that he might get bought out, which is a little annoying. And it's funny that you had the reaction with Brooklyn, because I had the reaction with LA. I was like, what the fuck are you going to go to LA for?
Hold on,
like,
Jay, really? I'm sorry. I want to cut you off. KZ Akpala played 17 minutes last game. Don't tell me Blake Griffin didn't have a fucking role here.
Yeah, that's a lot of minutes.
That is a lot of minutes, but he did play well.
And I know Bam was out, and yes, KZ did play well, but that's the thing. You want to not have to rely on Bam every single night. If Bam needs a breather, you can give him a breather. If you Iguodala should not be playing every night. Goran should be playing every night, you know, especially
totally
with back-to-backs coming up in the second half of the season. Like, you need depth, and we should
I'd rather go after other guys than him, but I understand what you're
saying. That's fine.
I'm not arguing that they need
that's
depth.
That's fair,
I'm
too. I think I take other guys over Blake also, but I think I also
I take Boogie over Blake, by the way. I would take Boogie over Blake.
Ooh, I don't know.
Like, given the same.
Personally, the way that I feel about Boogie, I think so. But
him a lot.
I like Boogie too, but
I think what you're also kind of overlooking, or what you're relying so heavily on, G, is that the idea that you have to play Bam or Blake, and that there can never be, you know, an overlap of minutes, that there can never be, you know, synergy.
Oh, I think they play together. I think they play together.
Right. And so to say that he would only be relied upon should Blake be, or should Bam be out, or should we, you know, suffer other injuries, I think, you know, that's limiting in thought, that's limiting in, you know, playbook creativity and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, you had Kelly play 37 minutes, which is something that I didn't mention either. And again, Bam was out, but Kelly should not have to play 37 minutes.
He was awesome.
Game. Yeah, he was
awesome.
He was great.
He was awesome.
But Blake can give you some of what Kelly gives you. But again, it's over.
Shout out to Twisted Tapioca for the 5 gifted subs, and he subbed earlier through April. So shout out to Twisted. The other guy I really wanted to get to is Otto, because he's a guy that I do want. He's a guy that I feel is perfect for them. I like everything that he gives them. He's been a plus shooter this year for a team that has not been very good. I think defensively, he doesn't look like he moves very well, which is a red flag to me, because if he's not healthy, then I don't know how much this team can help him, because I've said this before. Siobhan, I'm actually curious about how you feel about this as an athlete. Like, if you're getting a guy that's not right, health-wise, in a COVID season, I think the chips are going to be against you more than ever, because you don't have the same staff that you normally have as a player, right? Like, players have their masseuses, their chiropractor, they're this guy, they're that guy. And those staffs, I imagine, this is not me reporting, just logic would say that in a COVID season, their staffs have been short. Okay, well, you can't, maybe they all share a masseuse, maybe they, you know, you can't have that many people working on guys. And so I would caution against taking a guy that's hurt and being like, in a normal season, I think, like, okay, we can rehab this guy because we trust our facilities, we trust our infrastructure. But now, like, you don't have, like, you're not operating at 100%. So especially when there's no rest.
So based on that alone and nothing else about player fit or type, then why are you so high on DeMarcus? He's a
Oh, I'm not.
But you take DeMarcus over Bam or over Blake.
Yeah, I think DeMarcus will replace.
Okay.
I think he's looked a little spryer.
Yeah, no, he has. I think he looks a little lighter, a little springier. To your point, I think you're right, right? Like limiting or traveling parties are limited. Away trips now are longer so that they can get them all done in one swoop. You know, maybe you still have your personal guys on retainer or whatever. You know, these guys have the money to have their guys at home, or for the most part, you know, to have their guys at home tested and their therapeutics and this. But, you know, I think you're right. You're limited to the amount of people they can bring with them to, you know, what therapies and, you know, all of those things they have access to. So, maybe using another roster spot on a guy who could benefit from all of those extra services that we aren't really privy to at the moment might not be a good idea. But then you are also met with the reality that all of these guys have an injury, a nick, a knack, a something, there's pros and cons, and pros and cons also being, you know, just as much as, you know, player skill and fit also being health history. So I think it's tough either way, but it's going to be tough at this stage of the season, given the current global condition.
And Otto's a guy that has been hurt this year. He hasn't played in a while. The Bulls, I don't feel like they feel like they can't fuck around and not have a body. But he's a guy that's interesting to me, Frankie, because I think in theory, again, like these are, we talk a lot about this team in theory, you know, he's a guy that is low risk that you can bring in with one of the many exceptions that you have left at your disposal, and you can promise him a role, because they do need a power forward, and he's a guy that I feel can give them the shooting, give them the screening at the small ball four, kind of let them run their horn sets in peace, because it's been tough sometimes when you have too many non-shooters and things like that. So like I like him a lot, and I'm sorry I muted you since you were buzzing really loud. Is he a guy that you like for this team?
Full disclosure, Jack killed me last time for doing this, but I haven't seen a single Otto Porter in all season. Historically, Otto Porter, awesome fit for this Miami Heat
you
team.
Gotta lie. You gotta lie.
I, just going off history.
We don't not, lie here.
Listen, I don't lie to the people. I don't make up Harrison Barnes propaganda and make up love for Kyle Lowry of all people.
I don't have makeup.
I don't gotta do all that shit for fucking views and takes and all this shit. Like some unmentioned people. All right. I don't gotta do that shit. If the people can live or die with what I say, but I'm going to tell them the fucking truth. All right. Otto Porter, he's a guy. He's great cutter, great shooter, career 40% shooter from three. He can play small ball four, which is exactly what this team needs. He can move off the ball. He's a reliable player offensively. Defensively, he's been hit or miss. Defensive stats hate him, but he can play that role. He's not as good as Jay Crowder was, but offensively, he's a lot better, a lot more consistent. And you hope, and he's better than what we have at the four right now. So absolutely, he can help. You hope the back injury, he hasn't played in a month. And you hope it's not that serious. I don't know when the last time he played, like if he's been missing games because of injury, or if it's also because the team's been playing better without him.
He's sick of him.
They picked up Andre after having not played an old Andre after not having played an entire year. So, you know, a younger, you know, more talented, you know, piece like that. I don't see why not. What are his measurables? What's his height? What's his wingspan?
He's
6'8", 200 pounds listed. Right.
6'8". Why does he feel longer wingspan than that? Yeah. His arms must be long as hell. He feels longer than that.
7'1" wingspan.
That works. Yeah.
That's what we like.
Yeah.
Pause, Shabon.
Stop it. And so maybe, you know, the defensive stats hate him and he's not quite Jay in those areas on paper, you know, maybe his measurables, maybe those things give him, you know, more deflection opportunities, more, you know, in the lane, in the gaps, and, you know, maybe more contest at the rim.
Do you like him?
I don't dislike him. I don't watch him. So again, with Frankie, you know, from what I do know of Otto, from what I've seen his makeup, he feels like a, I don't know, how old is he? I want to see like what his maturation. I want to see what his maturation is and, like, you know.
Contract year, Siobhan. This is another thing. He's got to be a free agent. He just got paid. He wants to get paid some more. I think he's a candidate. Like, if he has a big postseason or something like that, he can get paid again. He'd
probably cash out, yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to be motivated. Yeah. You can give him the disabled player exception from Myers. And try
what's
to like
7-5. What is that?
Four or five.
What? I thought we had something else.
Yeah. Oh, it's a trade exception. No, she's talking about the trade exception, the 7.5. But you know, that could make up some of the difference from the buyout that he's gonna take. So, you know, hopefully that's enough. And you can even talk to him, say, hey, look, we'll re-sign you for a 1-year deal after this, and you can be motivated.
An entire improvement year, like finish out this season. Then no, I need another consistent year and that feels more reasonable than some of these other guys that we keep finding ourselves latched to
pining over.
Yeah, yeah, we're always fighting for mid-30s guys. This is a 27-year-old in his prime. Okay. Give me this guy. If you lock him up, give him a 2-year deal after this.
Mid-30-year-olds that don't really want us. It's like dudes are like taunting us now because they see how just fucking crazy and bloodthirsty this fan base gets. And so like it just feels like dudes like, oh yeah, Miami, that's somewhere I'll go. Knowing that we're gonna eat this shit up and they're just sitting back at home. You know that that gif of Barack and Michelle in the White House and he's like tweeting and she comes like snatches. That's why I feel like other players around the league are doing with watching us fawn over every name that gets thrown out.
No, and I also feel like free agents are using Miami's name just to like get more from another team. Yeah, like, hey, you know, that's nice, but Miami's offering me this. What can you offer? You know, Miami wants me. I feel like that's what they're saying. You know, I have no evidence whatsoever.
Maybe.
But this, if, hey, Pat Riley wants me, I would go to the negotiating table like that. You know, it's like in college when you're getting recruited, you say, hey, Alabama offered me. And then everybody's throwing offers too. If Alabama likes what they see, then I don't know. I don't know better than Alabama. How many GMs think they know better than Pat Riley?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because I think especially like from a fan base perspective, you know, they got LeBron, Dwayne, and Bosh that one offseason. And then and then from there on out, they got everyone they wanted. They got Ray Allen. They got Shane Battier. They got Rashard Lewis, right? Birdman. All these people that they wanted, they got.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like once LeBron left, that stopped happening. Like Jimmy's really the only guy since. Like I guess they got Joe Johnson, right? Joe Johnson was the guy in the buyout market that was really highly coveted. I think that was a lot of Dwayne relationship, you know, happening. And same with Jimmy. And they haven't. Let's really think about it. Like every major signing they've had, other than Luol Deng, has been really Dwayne Wade relationship building. Dwayne Wade
driven.
Yeah. And I'm absolutely sure Deng came because of Wade as well.
And Bosch. I mean, they were together. Yeah. That was supposed to, and that was a good team. That team was a 3 seed, and there was a game away from the conference finals in which they had owned Cleveland all year. So right, like that was a good team. But you know, the fan base kind of is a little entitled, and I hate to say very that about entitled. Our listeners.
So is Pat. Truth, man. So is Pat. Let's be honest. So is the front office. We're too good for Victor Oladipo. Right.
Now, please, Victor. He wants us too much.
Yeah, he wants us too much. Yeah. Oh, he didn't throw a fit like Jimmy Butler did in practice to get out of there.
Oh, they love fits at practice. Goran and Jimmy.
No, it's totally fine when Jimmy and Goran do it, but let Victor do something differently. Right. Like, that's not professional either. That shit's not professional.
I think there's legitimate like health concerns with Depot. And you're right. Like, I think that they have their eyes set on Giannis, on Beal, on these guys, and they really didn't, you know, kind of have those marginal moves, which to an extent I understand. Like, this is an organization that's about, you know, they're not about conference title banners, right? They're about, you know, confetti and champagne. I don't blame them. I understand part of it has bitten them in the ass and sometimes it hasn't. So I get it. But I do think that there has been kind of an unreasonable expectation from the fan base that they have to get everybody. And then what happens is that I also think it just makes it easy to link Miami to everybody, because I do think the front office is aggressive and I do think they do their due diligence and call about everybody, as a good front office should do. Orlando, we're going to get into Nick Vucevic. Orlando's a team that has been stuck in the mud for the last 5 years.
Yep.
They're clearly not going anywhere.
Yep.
And it would be stupid not to call them and say, hey, what's going on there? Are you looking to sell? Some mornings you wake up feeling ready to pull the covers over your head and go back to sleep. No judgment, of course, but let's make having the most comfortable sheets the reason why. Don't love your sheets? Brooklinen has you covered. Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooklinen as the first direct-to-customer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury-level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting, and they're confident that you will love their product, so they even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They're comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code HEATBEAT to get 25% off when you spend $100 or more plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code HEATBEAT to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. Brooklinen.com and use promo code HEATBEAT at checkout. Like, yeah. That doesn't mean that they're going to get these guys, but I think any good front office is going to do their due diligence to say, hey, what's going on over there?
Hey, like, hey, bud, you guys okay over there?
You up?
Hey, Magic, you good? I think you're right. Like, but that's the thing, too. You have to realize that, I don't know, there are other ways to skin a cat, you know? Like, you don't necessarily need you. Most times you don't really need, you know, all of these whales of names. If you can get you know, 2-3 really, really solid, you have a Jimmy, you have a Bam, who call it what you want, say what you want, feel how you feel, our top, you know, 20 players in the league when they're on it, when they're healthy. And so you don't need to bring in a Giannis for that, because you have dudes who can. And like, what does that ultimately do for you other than kind of deplete, you know, your depth and all of these things? I think that there are more than marginal gains to be made by adding like really good, you know, second, third tier guys, rather than always looking for, you know, the baddest bitch in the room.
Like, part of that, and I think they've done a good job of that in like the margins, like they've been exceptional at picking in the draft with late first rounders, with late lottery picks. Their undrafted guys have like always been good. I mean, going back to Bruce Bowen and Udonis, even more recently to, you know, finding, we say what we want about Hassan. I mean, the dude was a productive player and is still in the league, right? A guy like Tyler Johnson, who was undrafted, who's playing a role with Brooklyn, who is a good basketball player, despite the money that they gave him. Rodney Magruder, like they have found productive basketball players out of nowhere. They Duncan Robinson, right? They pull them out of thin air. Willie Reed for a while here. Like they're good at that. I feel like where they've struggled is kind of those middle acquisitions.
Yep.
I feel like they've struck out on a lot of those. They hit on Jay and Andre, which got him to the finals. But for the most part, I think that they've struggled with that. Part of it is because they reserve their space to go after, as Siobhan said, the baddest bitch in the room. But I get it, but I get why they do it, and it's also frustrating because, you know, they don't have to go after Beal, right? They can do a move like, you know, like, I mean, Larry Nance is a really good player, but and they're not going to get Larry Nance, and they're not going to get Vooch, right? But you don't, it doesn't have to be an all-star level player.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings me to the Vooch point. It's like, I think he'd be great here. I just don't see what Miami can give Orlando, like. And Frankie, my thinking is, okay, Miami's going into this trade deadline because I don't think that they're going to move Tyler for anybody that's going to be available. Like, I think they're going to move Tyler for like a blue chip kind of like 1A option, right? Like, Tyler is reserved for like the big trade for like, you know, a star. And everybody else, I think what's on at the table is probably going to be Precious. It's probably going to be whatever the first round pick that they can trade. I forget what year it is. They have one 2022 second round pick. They have salary filler. And I feel like that's about what they're going into. Maybe Kendrick Nunn. And that's about what they have at the offering table to get anybody. I don't know. Is there something else that you think that they'll offer? I look at what they have and I'm like, I think that's reasonable.
Well, for Vooch, I don't think it makes sense because I feel like Orlando's taking this as like a gap year. Like they have ridiculously bad luck with injuries and stuff. They'll probably move on from like Fournier or whatever. Yeah, because just make something like he's probably going to leave their team. So cash out and try to get something for him before he leaves. They'll probably make moves like that. But Vooch is locked in. He's just had an all-star season. He's playing great and he's still in his prime and stuff. And he plays well with all the young guys like Fultz and stuff that they expect back in the future. So I don't expect him to be available. I'm realistic. I think this team is just going to make marginal moves like the buyout market, maybe a veteran like PJ Tucker, something like that. I feel like that's the realistic moves. I don't think they're going to move Tyler. I don't think anybody's going to want Kendrick. Precious, maybe if they look to get something big, but you could even make a case that they shouldn't move Precious because he's young and developing and he's been a good player. We talked about this in the chat, but we haven't seen much of a sample size of Precious and Bam. So like it's been bad in the 7 minutes that they played together, but that's not a sample size worth anything. So, you know, you want to see what you have in this guy and maybe it's something more than what he's shown so far.
Yeah, like chat saying Rudy Gay, George Hill, DeMarcus Cousins, right? Like those kinds of things, which would help. I mean, I don't know if that takes you over the top to go to the finals. Siobhan, so I'm writing a piece about their offense. Mm-hmm. I've been watching a lot of their film and stuff and kind of like what's different between last year and this year. And I look at the way that they move. I look at the stuff that they run. I look at the lineups that they throw out and it's really tough to discern like what is realistically and tangibly different other than Jay. And even pre-Jay, I was watching like some film with like Justice and what they would do with that. And it's like, I don't know if they can just add a small piece and make all that work. But I mean, they're not that different and yet nothing works. So I'm like at a loss.
And so it's weird. So you just said that they're not that far off. They're not, you know, that much different than last year. But for whatever reason to you, it doesn't feel like a small move would be enough of a salve. And I don't know. I think personally, the things that I feel like are tangible differences that I know that I kind of beat, you know, over maybe our audience's head with is, there's a different amount of toughness. There's a different amount of size and there's a different amount of energy. And so all of those things combined, and I think really, really energy too, like a DJ, you know, type alley-oop can kind of stymie or, you know, help quell, you know, a growing team's, you know, momentum. And it can, you know, kind of help get you to getting your own. Jay being able to guard up to, you know, Jay would, you know, make faces and, you know, like just have a little bit more dog in them. You know, I really, really believe that there is not enough, you know, kind of that
edge.
There isn't enough energy. And I recognize what I believe that Jay and DJ offered us in size and what a difference in size allows you to do schematically. Like you can play DJ at the top of the zone and still have Bam in the back line because, you know, you have other areas of length who can maybe, you know, cause some trouble defensively. So it's weird to watch. And also people have keyed in on the offense, those same dribble handoffs, Duncan isn't flying open. Those are tangible differences. Like other teams' improvements and adjustments stand to be tangible differences as far as, you know, dictating a lot of your own personal results and outcomes.
Like in regard to Derek, I was watching a play that they ran They ran a handoff and they flipped it into a pick and roll. And Bam's going to the rim, and then DJ's man comes in to help. And then Goran just and they give it to Bam, and then Bam flips it to Derek, and he gets a lob, and he gets a dunk uncontested. And I was like, man, it'd be nice if Andre did that. Because, I mean, Derek and Andre are not dissimilar as shooters, right? Like, I think Andre is even a better shooter than Derek, right? Especially from the corners. You know, you and I think the percentages will say that, and I think you're more confident with Andre, but Andre's just, like, they're both just not defended. But, you know, Derek has that spring. And those are, like, kind of like those momentum plays that you're talking about. I will say about the defense, their defense is, like, legit good this year, I think. I think that when I watch their offense, they do, I think they do move with force, and I think they do move with purpose. I think, like, Duncan in particular is moving a ton, and I think, contrary to popular belief, he's cutting more this year, which surprised me. I felt like he wasn't cutting as much. But he is cutting more this year. The shots, just the percentage has just gone down a little bit. I think the contests have been a little better, like you said. They are switching a little more, but they run most of the same stuff. And I'm like, I do feel like there's energy there, but I don't have an answer. Like, I have to defer what you're saying, because what I'm watching, like, I see a couple things. Like, okay, well, they switch that kind of bogs down the offense. Oh, well, you know, they're not guarding Andre in the corner. But, you know, you look last year and they were doing the same shit. You know what I mean? Like, they'd switch the handoffs and still they would get, you know, Duncan hit a contested three, or they'd move. And, like, I just, Frankie, I don't, I'm kind of at a loss.
Goran Dragic. This is, if we're being honest, this team as they've been playing, is very similar to the pre-bubble Heat, with the frustrating losses, getting blown out by Atlanta, getting blown out by Charlotte. You had they were completely uneven. There was, none of us expected the Heat to make a run in the bubble because the team looked like shit. Once they got to the bubble, Goran became rejuvenated. He stepped up his game. You had Jimmy, Goran, Bam, Tyler, and Duncan outperform their playoff seed, their regular season numbers. They're all scoring more. They're all being more aggressive. But Goran going into the starting lineup was the release valve. Whenever Duncan couldn't get open on the dribble handoffs, they could swing it, run some pick and pop, and Goran was an isolation master. Jimmy Butler was aggressive. You had the pull-up three from Goran. Everything was functioning differently because Goran was a 20-point-per-game scorer in the playoffs and was aggressive as can be. And that was what we're missing. That's what we're missing. We don't have a guard that can get that separation, that can create that extra offense when Duncan and the dribble handoffs aren't going. We're running more dribble handoffs this season than last year. And teams also have seen it a million times, so they're learning how to defend it. And you need Bam and Tyler to grow up this season. And Bam's been a lot better than he was last season, but he's not at the level consistently that we need him to be. He hasn't grown into that role. Tyler has improved as well, but he still isn't a pull-up artist from three that really makes a defense pay attention to where he's at and where he's scoring and trying to stop him. So there's possible answers in the future. Maybe Tyler and Bam can get there, but the answer last year was Goran. And I have no faith that Goran can do it again, just because he's older. He's coming off that bad injury. He looks slower. I think he can do it for a couple games. I don't know if we can count on him to do it for the rest of the season and for the playoff stretch. I want him to do it because I want him to get another chance at that ring. But realistically, it's unlikely.
They're very Jekyll and Hyde, because last season it was the defense that they legit couldn't guard anybody. Their defense was not good, even with Jay, and even when they started doing the switching. I mean, they were getting torched every night, and their offense was in the top 10, right? And now it's the opposite. Their defense is amazing. They're in the top 10 and they can't fucking score. And it's weird. And it's like, I see the defensive changes that have helped. I think playing Andre more helps a lot. Bam is just a better defender. And Jimmy's Jimmy. And I think that them kind of putting Jimmy off ball a little bit. They're running the same principles, though, defensively. But on offense, it's just gone haywire. And maybe it's just as simple as, you know, Tyler and Duncan aren't hitting at the same clip as last year. And that's really, and Kelly, and that's it right there. Because, I mean, Kelly's fumbling open shots. Duncan, Duncan's fine. Duncan's not the problem. He's just shooting 39% on like incredible volume. That's going to happen. And I think if other guys start hitting shots, he'll get a little more free. He's like one of the best contested 3-point shooters in the league, which is funny. he's like shooting more contested jumpers and he's like hitting them at a really high clip, but you know, they're contested jumpers. So I think if the offense opens up a little bit, the shot quality will go up and he'll get his percentage, I think, pretty close to where he was last season. But Tyler has been really a black hole at the 3-point line. I mean, he's improved lately. I think he's up to like 34% or 35% for the year, Siobhan. But like, if those guys aren't hitting shots on an offense predicated on motion and screening and popping and slipping, like, is it just make or miss? Or
and an offense predicated on motion screening and popping for those specific guys, yes. Like if the rest of the people on the floor, you know, aren't, if our plays are designed for, you know, the action around the horn, when that's not happening and we don't have enough, you know, Jimmy Bam to, you know, take in and do their own things, then I don't know. I think that, yeah, this is kind of the result, right? And it is so very strange, like the eye test and what their numbers tell you don't feel like they match. For me personally, like you say defensively, they're a better team this year. I hear you say that, but I also see them like having to recover more and help more for each other than maybe I would like them to be. Yeah, we're a good defensive team because Bam has gotten better and he's taking on a lot of that defensive role. Jimmy is Jimmy and he's going to take, you know, the defensive role that he needs. And, you know, I'd be remiss, you know, Duncan has gotten much better defensively this year. His spatial defense, his you know, kind of defensive court awareness is much improved. But the offensive, you know, stagnation is, excuse me, my roommate's coming.
All good.
The offensive stagnation is just going to be a product of what it is, because this is the offense that we're running at the moment. And these guys, you know, aren't hitting, and it's kind of is what it is.
What do they do when, you know, when they run horns and Kelly pops and Bam or whoever rolls? What happens when they just don't guard Kelly? Because I feel like we are dangerously close to that happening, because he's still guarded as a shooter. Mm-hmm. And the day that they Andre him, like the New Orleans did a weird thing with Jimmy where they were stapled to him in the corner when they would run sets and Jimmy was not the screener or Jimmy was not the pick and roll handler. He was in the right corner and B.I. or Hart were like attached to him. And I was like, that's interesting. I don't know if I do that. Good teams leave him open. That's and I know Stan to be a good coach, but like when teams are going to be like, well, I'm not going to guard you, Jimmy, because you suck as a shooter. And if you hit it, that's cool. And if Kelly, eventually they'd be like, you know what? You could take that. I don't care. You've been shooting like 27% and I don't give a fuck if you hit shots. You're not going to, I haven't seen you hit shots in like 2 months. That's a problem.
Yeah, like so somebody's gonna be like, "Oh, you're not gonna beat me hitting open threes. You're not gonna hit enough open threes to beat me." So
that's like the boogeyman in the modern NBA. But like, I feel like it's coming.
I mean, possibly. I also want to like dive into something on that. Yeah, we recognize this team isn't as good as last year. Right now, they don't look as good. But also, it's a short sample right now. It's half a season. I just want to give you one frame of reference. Last year, the Heat were the second best 3-point shooting team in the league, 37.9%. That total right there would be 10th this year. Teams are shooting ridiculously high from three. The Clippers are shooting 42% as a team. The league as a whole, they're just shooting better.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking so much about what we are lacking or what's changed within our own organization without taking into account that other people are just getting better.
Yeah. And it's still early too.
Like, it is still early.
Maybe Kelly has a blistering second half of the season, gets closer to his career averages and balances that out. Maybe Duncan goes as well. Maybe Tyler, like some of these guys are just due to balance out. You know, what's that thing, the water
always finds its level.
Exactly.
It always finds its level, yeah. Alec.
Well, rubber hits the road.
I like when the rubber hits the road. Are you out on the road? I like that. That's a good phrase.
Gee, I think I think schematically, I think it's interesting where you're talking about the difference in how most teams tend to guard Jimmy and how New Orleans and Stan guards Jimmy, where, you know, conventionally, yeah, you leave, you know, your the dude that's who, you know, the least of a shooting threat open. And that allows you, you know, to give more bodies to the rest of the guys on defense, right? I think I understand Stan's approach with that, because even if Jimmy's not, you know, that great of a shooter, you playing off of him still allows some freedom of motion to then come to the ball. And he's smart enough to know he isn't that good of a shooter. So he's going to take up that space, get to the cup, or, you know, get to the ball first and then, you know, operate and do that. When you have a guy kind of spying him, almost like a, not a box in one, but you just have like that one dude attached to him, regardless of whatever anybody else is doing, like you limit his freedom of motion. And whether he's a good shooter or not, you just kind of ice him and take him out the play, rather than, you know, he can get it because he's not going to make it.
Yeah. I thought like that game was kind of funky because they had Steven Adams guard Andre, right? So either he would be parked in the corner with Andre, and then what the Heat did was they started putting him in pick and roll, which I thought was kind of funny because, like, conventionally you want to take the big out of it.
I have to rewatch it. I would love to rewatch that game, actually.
It was interesting. Like, you should watch from like the fourth quarter, like when Jimmy checks back in that fourth quarter on, like there's a lot of weird stuff going on. And so they put Steven Adams on Andre, and then Andre starts screening for Goran and pick and roll, because they had gone Jimmy pick and roll every time, and then Hart is coming at the level of the screen, Jimmy's slipping, and he's getting layup after layup. He missed one layup, and then he made the other one, and they were just getting really good looks every time Jimmy was slipping because they were committing to kind of coming up on that screen. Then you know, they were kind of vacating, they were doing the vacate Andre thing, and then now they had Andre kind of come up to screen with Steven Adams on him, and then they had Jimmy in the corner with they put Ingram on him. And I thought that was interesting. And they were getting dunks. I mean, Andre, that was that one that Andre slipped open for the dunk in open space and everything. And that's interesting. And that's just something that they can do when Bam's not there, because Kelly is not the screener there. And they didn't run their horn stuff, which I thought was interesting. And they ran much fewer handoffs. They did run their handoff stuff, but it was like much less fewer horns, less handoffs, more kind of Jimmy and Andre screening for ball handlers, more kind of north-south action. I thought that was interesting. And part of that's like Bam's not there. And when Kelly's there, I think he gets to play a little more freely. I know that the numbers are good when they both play together, but it was that was a funky game.
Most definitely. And one of the supposed favorite adjustments when they start, when they stop paying attention to perimeter guys is to go to the dribble handoffs too. You know, you do the dribble handoff for Duncan, and Duncan's getting open because the big is dropping so far off, you know, not helping off of Jimmy or Andre. So that it's good adjustment by Spo just to get, make sure you're not going to guard Jimmy. I'm going to make sure you're not able to guard Duncan and get going like that. So I think the second half of the season, they have a lot of Spo could definitely make some adjustments there. To help Duncan get freer, to get Kelly more rhythm shots, and get him involved when he's not just a spot up guy, because I think we've seen plenty of times that Kelly can affect the game positively when he's not hitting shots. He doesn't just have to be a spot up guy, and like if he's not hitting shots this season, he needs to be a positive somehow, because we're not getting positive value out of a lot of the guys on the roster right now.
To your point before, we do tend to like trend at the proper time. We tend to like find our stride, find our peak, and, you know, get, you know, all of the gears of the machine tend to find themselves well oiled at the really right time. So, like I said, just starting the second half. So there's definitely, there's opportunity.
And Spo's teams too. How many times do we see Spo have a much better second half coming off the All-Star? We've seen it throughout the Big Three era, through 15-16, 30-11. Like, Spo responding in the second half has been a constant. He tinkers with the lineup so much and the rotations that he's going to find something that works and stick to it. We just got to hope for a couple additions, minor or major, and hopefully major. But, you know, help the team find their rhythm and get going. I'm pretty confident this team is making the playoffs. I wouldn't bet a house on it, but I'm you're the one who's owning a house or a condo right now. Shout out to you, by the way.
Closing in a couple weeks. Let's go.
Let's go. But yeah,
Moose are gonna be neighbors.
Oh God.
I'm gonna hear drip drop from my window.
I want you to throw something at him when he says it. No, but I'm fairly confident the team's gonna make good second half adjustments, and the guys are gonna play better and more comfortable. They have a point to prove. They that last year wasn't a fluke. That Bam and Jimmy should have been all stars. They have a lot of things to prove in the second half.
Couple things before we get out of here, because we're running on time. Jimmy, Bam, and Goran have played 79 minutes this season. They're plus five per 100 possessions. That's good. That's good. They're trending up. They were actually a negative before everything bad happened. They were like a minus two or something. It was something funny that they were just like getting outscored with the three of them. That has been trending upward. Jimmy and Goran together without Bam has been really good. And I think part of that you saw in that game, kind of the space they're afforded. Jimmy as a screener, who's a very, very good roller. They're plus 14 per 100 possessions with a 114 offensive rating. That's really good. I will say this about Spo. He is a very flexible coach. I think that we've seen him throw new things into the offense. They know it's a problem. And I think that with this organization and with this coaching staff specifically, we know that they're going to do whatever they can. I think even if it's scheme, they'll change it. I don't think they have much of a choice other than to run handoffs, just because they just don't have the pick and roll guys. I'm sure that he would want to run more pick and roll, but I don't really think that they have enough guys considering their personnel. I do think the rotations have been really, really good lately. I think they figured out some stuff. They have a starting lineup they like. They have their lead guard off the bench that they like. They have kind of stumbled into this Kelly at the five with Andre at the four and shooters, which has been really, really good for them. And they just use Andre as a screener in those sets, and they can have Kelly space and cut and, you know, finagle stuff, and they can run horns with Andre. And like they do a lot of fun stuff together. And I do think that they've settled into some rotational things and have given a couple injuries here or there. I think they know with the roster they have, they know the guys, and I feel good about the second half. I feel good. I'd bet my house on them making the playoffs. I would even say that they're going to be in play for a home seed. You know, let's see. You know, they have already gone through their COVID stretch. Thankfully, they have come out of it 500. I hope, right? Hopefully. Right. Well, I mean, I guess the thing is like, you know, Bam's had it. You know, and then Jimmy got it.
Doesn't matter. KD had it last year. He missed time twice this season.
Yeah, but it's not as long. I mean, once you get it right, I mean, the problem with Jimmy was Jimmy got really sick.
We still don't know. Right. Right. So yeah, imagine like getting it twice, lasting effects, all that. That's not something that you want to really.
Yeah.
So
and it's just just being exposed to it. That could get you suspended. So we hope that nothing else happens, but you don't know.
I want these guys to be healthy and okay. Like,
what the fuck happened in Toronto? Like, eight of them.
The coaches. It was the coaching staff. A coach got sick, and then he got the other five coaches sick, and then they had a fucking outbreak.
This is what happens when you go to Hooters with the boys.
I would love to end on that joke, but I have a quick rant about the way that we cover COVID. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod. I've given private shows to all my friends, but like, you know,
phrasing.
Players are often blamed. Yeah, they listen, they get an earful. They get, you know, we blame players. They hate me. My friends are so sick of me.
Earful of what?
An earful of takes. My hot takes. Kill my momentum. They, you know, we always criticize players, or like, I think the public kind of looks at players and be like, they're responsible, or like, oh, it's all-star, you know, the players better behave, or oh, the players are having people over, or oh, the players, this, the players, that. But you know, it's never the coaching staff, it's never the trainers, it's never the organizational staff that's around the team. It's never referees don't have like they don't have the same rules as players, right? And we don't know.
Yes, they do. When
they do.
Yes.
Well, I think it was Andrew Bogut on the on his podcast claimed otherwise.
Fake news, Bogut. Don't trust that.
Fake news. Wow, Bogut. Fake news. But refs are not. Because from what I understood, refs were allowed to go out when they were in the city that their union had argued that they could.
Oh, see, I don't know if that's a recent development or not. I know last that I know that like even when refs are home or in their home cities, they're not even supposed to really be out and about in their hometown. So I don't know what
people,
they would be
people
able to do.
People don't know when a ref tests positive. like we know when the players do. So I think the players often get, you know, and we wouldn't know. And I don't know. It's just more of like a.
It's probably something that the player, the refs don't tell the media, or the media won't know. Yeah. But I'm sure. I'm sure that the players probably know. Like the teams probably get a notice that this referee.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Just to be careful.
What you're speaking to the G though, like that can be.
No, it's just
about,
in general, like
so
just
many things in general, right? It's always it's on the kind onus of the player to be, you know, on the up and up, and not the rest of the fucking hierarchy.
Yeah, so, I want people to lay off the players. I think they're doing their best. They're trying hard. I like them. I think that, you know, they're really putting themselves out there, and they're doing a good job. And I just see people online kind of blaming players all the time. Like, you know, people giving, you know, poor Ben and Joel shit for wanting to get a haircut before All-Star break. Maybe that was a bad idea, but whatever. I mean, it's always the players that get shit. And I was like, you know, it's a lot of people. Staff does it too. remember y'all, check us out on patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat for exclusive stuff like the locker room podcasts that are going to be exclusive to patrons. We're going to kind of upload those soon for the $5 patrons. $10 patrons get a watch party with us. Think about it this way. If you were going to go to a bar, Chad's making fun of me. Smeet the small naked chat saying G with the be nice to players hot take.
It's not a hot take.
Notice it came right after the Raptors talk about the coaches and stuff.
Yeah, I really, you know, just came to
G
Kyle's
felt
defense.
Real defensive
wow.
here.
Yeah, you really saw through me.
I'm smoking you
out. I hope something nobody does. For $10 patrons, you can watch some basketball with us. Now, think about it this way. If we were going to go have an event at a bar, if we were going to go to a Duffy's or a Sports Grill or a Flanagan's or whatever.
Not one with the Raptors coaches, hopefully.
Not one with the Raptors coaches. If you were going to go to one of those in a COVID-less world, you'd probably order some wings, have a beer or two, and talk, right? That's going to cost you more than $10. For a nominal fee of $10, you pay our beautiful staff. Every single person on staff gets paid. And you can help contribute to that, and you can hang out with us and talk about basketball. We did it last time. Jack, Brass, Frankie, you know, a couple of us were talking with our listeners and having a good time watching a Kings Heat game. So get in on that. We're going to schedule that for hopefully next week or the week after, whatever's best for you guys. We let you guys kind of dictate the schedule, and we'll keep you all posted. So check out all the offerings on Patreon and here. Remember, so no stream tomorrow. Tomorrow we have off. There's no hangover time. Brass Jazz just tuned into chat. Says, how much has G mentioned Harry B today? Frankie, how many times have I mentioned Harry B today?
Enough.
What do you mean enough?
Zero times, Brass.
Zero times.
That's enough.
You did good.
Thank you.
Good.
You know, check out all our offerings. So tomorrow, no stream. Wednesday, we have a podcast with a special guest. I hope we can do that. I have two guests, actually. It's going to be exciting. So be on the lookout for that, 7 p.m. And then Hangover Time, your normal scheduled programming. Hangover Time and pregame show Thursday, Friday. Locker Room Thursday morning and Friday morning. Recovery Time with Alf and I. So be on the lookout for that. We love y'all. Stay safe. Hopefully, you know, we...
Listen to Stream Beat.
Hey. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.